Ace Patrol!
High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! Today's transcribed Space Patrol adventure, Buzz and Happy are captives aboard a spaceship from another galaxy. In a desperate attempt to warn the United Planets of an attack, the two Space Patrollers are trying to master the bewildering controls of the spaceophone in the strange ship.
Gee, Commander, this certainly doesn't look like any transmitter I ever saw before.
I think you've got it, Hap. Don't touch anything else. Make the call.
Smoking rockets, Commander. Look.
The robot. Robot sent him to stop us.
He's a monster. And he's coming right for us.
Get the call out, Hap. I'll try to hold that thing off.
Space Patrol. Emergency. All units. He got me, Commander.
Commander Corey and Cadet Happy are in the Commander's central office on the man-made planet Terra, preparing to leave on a mission to Neptune. Their departure is delayed by the arrival of Edwin Westfall, head of a Planetoid Mineral Corporation, who insists that his business is extremely urgent.
What's your problem, Mr. Westfall?
Well, one of my field engineers has disappeared.
Another one.
Was that correct?
There have been other disappearances recently. Give me the details on your engineer.
His name is Link Cronin. He was out alone in the Scout ship, making tests for minerals on Saturn's fifth moon.
I see.
We haven't been able to contact Cronin for 2 days. My own ships have made a search of Moon Number 5. There's no sign of Cronin or his scout ship. Commander, I think Cronin has met with foul play.
Happy, get me file number M56.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Westfall, within the last 2 weeks, 5 persons have disappeared under mysterious circumstances.
Yes?
These reports have come from Jupiter, Venus, Mars, Earth, and Neptune.
Here's the file, Commander.
Thanks, Matt. The 5 cases in this file, Mr. Westfall, concern 2 women and 3 men. They're of different ages, different occupations. All were in good health, had no worries or enemies. Yet they all mysteriously disappeared.
It's very interesting. But what has this to do with Cronin?
Perhaps nothing. But it might ease your mind to know that in every case, these people have reappeared completely unharmed near the place where they vanished. Now, Mr. Westfall, if you'll excuse us, Cadet Happy and I are about to blast off for Neptune to investigate the latest case. Meantime, I'll order a search for Cronin.
Very well, Commander.
Come on, Hap, let's get to the spaceport.
During the long trip from Terra to Neptune, Buzz makes frequent checks with Saturn's Space Patrol concerning the mysterious disappearance of Link Cronin from Saturn's Moon Number 5. But again and again, the report comes back. No contact.
I've got a theory that might explain Cronin and the others, Commander.
Yes, sir?
Well, maybe there's a new type of sickness, a fever going around that makes people wander off and not remember where they went.
Edwin Westfall in Mars office at Planetoid Mineral Corporation calling Commander Corey aboard the Terra 5. Westfall calling Commander Corey.
He's probably checking up to see if anybody has found Cronin.
Go ahead, Mr. Westfall.
Commander, it looks as though you were right about Cronin showing up.
Oh, you found him?
No, not exactly. I heard from him by spaceophone.
What happened to him?
Well, he won't tell me. He wants to contact you personally.
What about?
I don't know. He gave me a message to give you. He'll contact you by spaceophone in exactly 2200 universal star time at 561.8 megacycles.
Where is he?
He won't tell me that either. There is something very strange going on, Commander.
Are you sure it was Cronin?
Yes, it was him, all right. His voice sounded a little strange, but it was undoubtedly Cronin.
That frequency was 561.8 megacycles?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Westfall. I'll be ready for his call. Corey out.
It sounds like Cronin's in trouble.
It was Cronin. Well, it's about 21:35. We've got 25 minutes to wait. Receiver to 561.8 megacycles, Happy.
Yes, sir. Hey, what's that?
Hope nobody's trying to jam Cronin's wavelength.
I can't filter it out, Commander.
Link Cronin calling Commander Corey. Link Cronin to Commander Corey.
Corey here. Where are you, Cronin?
Do not ask questions. Just listen. My life depends on your obeying these instructions. Do you understand?
Go ahead.
It is useless to attempt to trace the source of this message. Waste no time. Proceed at once to Jupiter Moon Number 4. You hear?
Jupiter 4.
Land your ship near the center of Sector R16 on Jupiter 4. Leave your ship and walk 300 yards due east of your landing point. Is that clear?
Yes.
How many are aboard your ship
now? Listen, Cronin, what's this all about?
No questions, please. If you value my life, answer truthfully. How many are aboard the Terra 5?
Two.
Who's the other?
Could that happen?
Both of you leave the ship. No one is to be aboard to interfere or to send a space support warning. Do you promise?
Under the circumstances, yes.
This is most important. You are to have no weapons with you. Only if all these conditions are carried out will I be released unharmed. Is that understood?
Yes, Cronin.
Then proceed to Jupiter 4. Do not attempt to set a trap.
I give my word.
You cut off, Commander.
Did you get a fix?
No, sir. Signals seem to come from all directions at once. Hey, do you suppose that peculiar sound blanked out our direction detector?
Probably. Cut the receiver, Hans.
I wonder who's got Cronin and what they're up to.
I'd like to alert the Jupiter space patrol, but we'll wait till we get Cronin back safely. Set a vector for Jupiter's fourth moon.
And so, keeping a careful viewscope check for strange spaceships, Buzz and Happy head for the fourth moon of Jupiter. Following Cronin's instructions, Commander Corey sets the Terra 5 down in the exact center of sector R-16, a barren, almost level expanse of rock between two enormous craters. Now, in their spacesuits, Buzz and Happy pace off 300 yards eastward from their spaceship.
96, 97, 98, 99, 300. Well, now that we're here, what now?
Just have to wait it out, Happy. We followed instructions.
Commander, look. That glow, almost straight overhead.
It's a spaceship, all right, but where did it come from?
It popped right out of the blackness, like a meteor. Hey, maybe it is a meteor.
A meteor wouldn't glow like that. There's no atmosphere to ignite it.
Hey, look at it come. Hey, it's going to crash right on top of us.
Hope that pilot knows what he's doing.
The sound. It's the same one we heard in the ship.
Probably jamming our spacesuit transmitters.
But I can hear you okay, Commander.
Sure, as long as we're close together.
He's going to start decelerating if he doesn't want to spread himself. Well, it's landed. Now what?
Hap, there's no ship like that in the solar system.
I'm beginning to wish I'd sneaked a weapon along.
That's probably just as well that we didn't.
No viewports, no openings, just a smooth dome. Hey, something's happening.
The hatch is sliding open.
Yeah, and they're lowering a ramp. Hey, Commander, I got the weirdest feeling. Let's face it, I'm scared.
Chances are whoever's in that ship is frightened, too.
Well, why should they be? After all, we're just two unarmed men.
Someone in that ship is frightened of the same thing you are, Happy. The unknown.
The unknown?
That ship is not from our solar system.
Well, what about Cronin? If he's aboard, why doesn't he come out?
Perhaps we're supposed to come aboard and get him.
You mean go inside that thing? I wonder what it looks like on the inside.
We'll never know if we just stand here. Come on.
I'm beginning to wonder if that was Cronin we heard.
How would aliens from another solar system know about Cronin's disappearance unless they had something to do with it? And Westfall was sure it was Cronin.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep walking, Hap, up the ramp into the ship.
Yes, sir.
Watch your step. The ramp is very smooth.
They have a handrail on it, so somebody's likely to get hurt. There's an awfully low ceiling in here. Is this an airlock or what? Hey, come on, the hatch is closing. We're going to get out of here. Oh, too late.
Just stand still and relax, Happy. Don't show any alarm. Someone may be watching us, sizing us up.
I don't doubt that. I've got the strangest feeling.
Happy, check the atmosphere detector on your suit belt. What does it show?
There's air in the ship. Pure. Up to normal pressure. It's safe to open our face pieces.
All right. But be ready to close your helmet in a hurry.
Seems okay, Commander.
Yes. The temperature's comfortable, too.
I wish somebody would show up and say, hello, get out, or something.
Well, let's try the direct approach. Cronin. Link Cronin, are you aboard?
No answer.
Cut your space phone transmitter off, Happy. Perhaps our hosts are afraid we'll tip off the space patrol.
Yes, sir.
I'm Commander Corey. I followed instructions. I've kept my word. Where is Link Cronin?
Link Cronin is aboard and safe.
Hey, where's that voice coming from?
Must be an amplifier on that panel. We're waiting for you to release Cronin.
Link Cronin will be returned to the place from which he was taken.
Why can't we take him with us now?
That is not the plan. He will be returned to the place of disappearance, as were the others.
The others?
The human beings from Neptune, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Earth.
Who are you? Where are you from?
I am Zervok. I come from a planet in a remote galaxy. A galaxy known in your star charts as Galaxy 9.
Is he kidding? That's a million light years away.
For this ship, and those that will follow, it is a short journey of a few hundred of your hours.
Smoking rockets.
Zervok, what's your purpose in coming here?
It was my good fortune to find this solar system with planets that can support my race. Naturally, the present inhabitants must be destroyed.
Present inhabitants? That means us.
Exactly. Our forces must know what weapons you have to fight us. We must know your strength and weakness. Commander Corey, that is why you are here.
I'm not going to tell you anything, Zervok.
You have no choice. There is a device on this ship similar to what you call a brainograph, only much more efficient. I will extract from your mind all the knowledge it possesses. Then my race can safely and speedily destroy yours.
Obeying the space-upon instructions of Link Cronin, a mining engineer who had mysteriously disappeared, Mars and Happy landed their spaceship on the barren surface of Jupiter's fourth moon. Soon, a strange dome-shaped craft zoomed in using some unknown power of propulsion. When a hatch opened in the hull of the ship and the missing Cronin failed to appear, Buzz and Happy boarded the craft. Suddenly, the hatch closed, and the space patrollers heard a voice from an amplifier. The unseen occupant of the ship claims to be Zervok, a member of a race that inhabits a remote galaxy. Zervok is in the solar system to obtain information on weapons and defenses so that ships from Galaxy 9 can easily conquer the United Planets. Right now, their minds alert for a possible means of escape, Mars and Happy engage the galactic visitor in conversation.
Zervok, judging by your ship, you come from a very intelligent race.
Extremely intelligent, Commander.
And surely you don't have to resort to war and destruction in order to obtain planets for your people to live on.
Zervok, can't we talk face to face, like civilized human beings?
Why do you assume that I am a human being?
Gosh, what are you?
I am of the Crowney race, the most highly evolved form of life in Galaxy 9.
Well, congratulations.
Actually, Zervok, is there any reason why you have to carry on this conversation to an amplifier? Surely you aren't afraid of us.
Afraid? No. But if I were to appear before you, you might be tempted to try something foolish.
Yeah? What makes you think so?
I am judging by the reaction of two of the first human beings I captured. A female on the planet Earth and a male from Venus. They tried to attack me, and I was forced to render them helpless, thus delaying the information I needed. Naturally, I wiped the memory of that meeting from their minds by electronic means before I returned them to their home planet.
Oh, so that's why none of these people who disappeared could tell what had happened to them.
Yes.
Surely there must be other planets in this galaxy or in others that you could migrate to, planets that aren't inhabited by intelligent races.
This solar system is ideal for our purpose. Why should we seek another? All that is necessary after you human beings are destroyed is to manufacture our own atmosphere on various moons of Jupiter, Saturn, and Earth.
Manufacture atmosphere? What's wrong with what we've got?
The colony find the existing atmospheres of all your planets quite poisonous. That is why I'm keeping you carefully sealed off in a separate compartment.
If the Well, they can only use the barren moons. Why destroy our people? Why not leave our planets alone?
As alien invaders of your solar system, our presence would be resented. Rather than live under the threat of retaliation, we will first destroy you.
But Zervok...
It is not wise for my ship to remain on the surface of this moon any longer. One of your space patrol ships may observe us. I will now blast off, as you call it, to a safe position outside the Pluto orbit.
Swiftly, the dome-shaped ship from Galaxy 9 streaks out into space. The force of the acceleration renders Buzz and Happy unconscious. When they regain their senses, they find themselves in a different compartment. Now the powerful stellar drive of the spaceship has been cut off. Still in their spacesuits, Buzz and Happy dazedly sit up and look around the utterly silent compartment. As their vision begins to clear, Happy groans.
Oh, my head. Oh. Hey, Commander, you suppose we've been brainographed?
No, not yet.
Hey.
I suppose you're Link Cronin.
Yeah, that's right. I came out of the blackout just before you did. Sorry I had to get you into this, Commander.
Commander, we've been moved to a different part of the ship.
Yes, I wonder how we got here.
The robot probably did the job.
The robot?
Yeah, that's how Zervok captured those other people. The ship rushes down and lands. Out comes the robot, grabs up the victim, and goes back into the ship. That's what happened to me.
Cronin, are you aware of what Zervok plans to do?
Yes. Destroy every human being in the solar system. I wanted to warn you, Commander, when I was on the space phone, but I couldn't. All I could remember at the time was what Zervok told me to say.
Well, we've got to get out of here. We've got to know who we're fighting. Was Zervok, have you seen him?
No, I've only seen the robot. Frankly, I have a feeling I don't want to see Zervok.
I wonder what he looks like.
Well, that robot might be a clue. When we make robots, we pattern them after ourselves with necessary mechanical adaptations, of course. Well, what does this robot look like?
Well, it's about 7 feet tall.
Wow, a giant.
Yes, but that doesn't mean Zervok and the Crowley race are large. Judging by the placement of the few instruments I've seen here in the ship, Zervok is small.
Good deduction, Commander. The robot was probably made large so it could handle human beings.
Cronin, where's the spacophone you used?
It's in the next compartment, but I can't get back in there. I've tried it.
Well, let's try again. Whether we escape from Zervok or not, we've got to warn the space patrol about this invasion by the Crowley.
This door doesn't seem to have any latch or lock on it, sir.
Well, look down lower.
No, it's all perfectly smooth. Maybe it operates by remote control. Oh, wait a minute. There's a small disc set flush with the door panel. I can't turn it.
Try pressing it.
See, it worked. There's the door sliding back.
Now, Cronin, where is it?
Space phone's over there, Commander. Build it to the bulkhead.
Do you remember how to operate this space phone?
The robot did it. He turned that disc over there.
I turn it, Happy.
Yes. Commander, this certainly doesn't look like any transmitter I ever saw before.
I think you've got it, Hap. Don't touch anything else. I'll make the call.
Smoking rockets, Commander. Look.
The robot. Zervok sent him to stop it. Get the call out, Happy. I'll try to hold that thing off.
Space Patrol. Emergency. All units. I can't hold it, Happy. Space Patrol. Be on the alert for an invasion from Galaxy 9. Hey, the robot's got me. Choking me.
You should not have tried to use that spacophone. You human beings are powerless against the giant Crowley robot.
Attention all space patrol units. This is Commander Corey, alien from another galaxy.
It is useless, Commander. I have cut off the spacophone at the master control in the center of the ship. And now you will be subjected to the brainograph probe.
As the giant robot carries Buzz and Happy to another part of the alien spaceship. They are placed side by side on a table under a complex machine, and the robot rapidly adjusts the controls. Buzz and Happy try to struggle, but a wave of numbness creeps over their bodies, and they fall into a deep sleep. When they open their eyes, they're still lying on the table before Zervok's brainograph, but the robot is nowhere in sight. Then from the amplifier, they hear the voice of the alien from Galaxy 9.
It is all over, Commander Corey. The ship is now back on Jupiter's fourth moon. I have all the information I need about your weapons and defenses. relay this data to Galaxy 9, the Crowney Task Force will have no trouble in conquering your solar system.
I wouldn't be too sure, Zolok. Where's Cronin?
He has already been returned to his spaceship.
Hey, listen, Zolok. Suppose a space patrol ship sees this dome-shaped job of yours before you get out of the solar system.
I can elude them with ease, Cadet. And if not, well, your space patrol will never capture me or this ship.
What makes you so sure?
If anything happens to me, which is unlikely, this ship will be destroyed. I shall vanish, taking the secret of Crowley's plan of conquest with me. But I have no fear of that. Having probed into your minds, I know that you human beings have no weapons that could overpower me.
How will you get that information back to Galaxy 9?
I shall deliver it in person after you are released. Now you will be returned to your spaceship. I must now set up the proper action pattern in the robot's control unit. So I will bid you goodbye until we meet again.
Oh, gee, Commander, looks like there's nothing we can do.
No, so we might as well stop worrying. Let's check our spacesuits. We'll be ready when the robot appears to take us to Terra 5. Turn around. I want to adjust your oxygen equipment.
Yes, sir.
Don't remark anything I do. Zolok may be listening.
Yes.
I'm removing one of your oxygen containers, Hap. I'll keep you covered when the robot shows up.
Here it comes now. Here it comes.
Commander, the robot will escort you to your ship. Go with him.
All right, Zolok. Come on, Happy, let's go.
In parting, I will say that your behavior is admirable for a human being. Like the Crowley of Galaxy 9, you accept the inevitable with good grace. Once more, goodbye.
Quickly, the giant robot lifts Mars and Happy and carries them out of the alien ship and across the surface of Jupiter's fourth moon to the Terra 5. Once again inside their own ship, they look out through the viewport as the robot shuffles back to Zurbach's dome-shaped craft.
There goes the robot up the ramp. Hey, what's the thing dangling on its back?
I put it there. It's your spare oxygen bottle. It isn't fastened very securely. I hope it doesn't drop off before the robot gets back to the ship.
Well, but Commander, well, why did... Oh, I get it.
The robot's in the ship and the hatch is closing.
Do you think it'll work, Commander?
It's our only chance. If Zurbach only gets in the same compartment of the robot before all that oxygen leaks out of the container.
Commander Corey.
Zurbach, they're in the space of one half.
Corey here. Go ahead, Zurbach.
My robot has returned. He's standing before me now. In a moment, I shall order him to turn on the ray. The ray that will blot you. Blot out. Your memory.
I think it worked, Happy. We've got too many risks of oxygen. In a moment, he'll be unconscious, and we'll be able to capture him, take him to the medical science center.
Yeah, and we'll be able to see what he looks like and find out what makes him tick. Smoke and rockets. Look at his ship. It's glowing, red hot.
It's melting. Melting like wax.
It's gone. Zervok's ship just... blew up.
He kept his word, Hap. He used his last bit of energy to destroy his ship rather than be captured.
Isn't it strange, sir? We need oxygen in order to live, and it knocks him unconscious.
Yes, Happy. Strange and fortunate for us.
Commander, well, these Crowley, like Zurbach, we know they're not human, but I wonder what they look like.
That's something we'll never find out.
An action preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story. Buzz and Happy are climbing a steep mountain on the planet Venus in pursuit of a criminal.
One trail, all right, Commander. See? This is where he dug a foothold.
Watch your step, Happy. It's a 2,000-foot drop at the surface.
I think I'd better rest a minute, sir. I'm getting dizzy. Everything's getting dark.
I notice the same thing, but it's not dizziness. My head's perfectly clear.
Look at the sun. I can hardly see it. Hey, it must be an eclipse.
Venus doesn't have a moon. There can't be an eclipse.
Smoke a rocket, it's pitch dark.
This is Logan's work. It's got the blackout beating on us. If we try to move another inch in this darkness, we'll drop into the chasm.
Captain,
Join us again next week for this thrilling adventure with the Space Patrol.